Hey loves, and welcome back to the Borat Minda podcast. I'm your host Zuleika, and for this episode, I had a really great time interviewing my friend Filza about her experience with pursuing a master's course in counseling. Filza is someone really dear to me, and I think it shows in the interview that we're actually genuinely friends. I hope you'll enjoy listening to that. By the way, we have new merchandise out. You can visit mindakami.org/shop, S-H-O-P, because we have a little shop now. It's called Kedai Minda. Yeah, we don't really have a proper logo yet, but right now we have two t-shirts out. One is a movement that we call Kelab Hapus Stigma, and also a t-shirt that says Penyakit Mental Itu Bukan Aib. A lot of people have asked me what Aib is, A-I-B, and it basically means something shameful. So we're trying to get the word out there that having a mental illness isn't something to be ashamed about. Please join our fight against the stigma against mental illness, and also talking about mental health issues. So if you like to support us by buying our t-shirts, you can again go to mindakami.org/shop. We're trying very hard to fundraise for our little organization, because we are a self-funded group and we don't really have funding from, you know, anybody. So the merchandise sales would help a lot in, you know, funding our projects and also keeping us sustainable. So yeah, also remember to follow us on social media at Mindakami. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And our podcast, The Borat Minda Podcast, is on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. So I hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi everyone, I'm with my friend Filza right now. Would you mind introducing yourself?
Well, hi everyone, my name is Filza Izian. You can call me Filza. I'm 26 years old. Currently I'm doing my master's in counseling, mm-hmm, in one of the public universities in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's it,
and
I guess.
We're here to talk about your experiences as, yeah, a person who's done a master's in counseling.
Yeah.
How do you feel like being on the podcast now that we're recording?
Well, honestly, I'm quite nervous because this is my first time doing,
yeah,
podcast, but I'm quite excited.
You sound really like...
What do you mean?
Like shy and quiet.
But you know me, I'm a shy person.
Yelah tu. You know that I wanted to talk to you about your experience with pursuing a master's in counseling, right?
Yes.
Before that, would you mind telling us how did we meet?
Well, I told you before, I don't actually remember how, but you reminded me that we met through Twitter.
Yeah, but I know that you followed me, and that was like,
yeah,
maybe 2 years ago or more.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we have a mutual friend because you met my best friend at a camp kind of thing.
Yeah, like, yeah, some
like a project.
Volunteer work, something like that. Yes. And yeah, then we connected through that, I guess.
I mean, ew, but okay. But, yeah, yeah, I mean, like, yeah. I mean, it's kind of interesting, like, that you can meet people online and then meet them in real life.
Yeah, I mean, that's the first time I did that. So, thank
you. Oh, really? Yeah,
thank you for not being a serial killer or something like that.
I mean, not yet. Okay, let's get serious, I guess.
Yes.
Because we're here to talk about your master's in counseling, your experiences.
Yeah.
So, what made you interested in pursuing counseling?
Well, because I know that I'm always interested in the mental health field, mm-hmm, right? Because I did my degree in psychology in UIA, yeah, for like 3 and a half years lah. Mm-hmm. So after that, because I know I like to learn about psychology, counseling, this. mental health lah in general. Mm-hmm. So that I'm thinking about doing something for my master's in that field. So I choose counseling. Yeah, and I know counseling like in Malaysia. Then I research about it, and it's one of the needed field in Malaysia. So I just pursue it because I know Malaysia need it. Counselors in general, not just in school but outside of school. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah. Were you like worried or scared before like, you know, going into the program or even applying?
Honestly, not really. Mm. Not really. I'm more excited rather than nervous. Mm. Yeah, because I know this is what I want to do. I'm quite confident about it. I don't know why. But yeah, and now, alhamdulillah, after 2 years and a half, yes, of studying, I completed everything.
Yeah, you literally.
Yeah, I submitted everything last week.
Yeah.
So yay.
How do you feel about that?
It has not hit me yet. So let's ask me next week
and see how you feel about it. So what did you actually learn during the course?
Well, because okay, in Malaysia, so we have this thing, it's called Lembaga Counselor Malaysia. So they actually macam buat the whole course outline.
Macam syllabus, exactly.
So the subjects needed, so the universities have to abide by the course outline, right? For the lembaga to actually give your university accreditation.
Yeah,
something like that. So yeah, so the thing that I learned is some of the subjects lah that I learned. Okay. Multicultural counseling, the theory in counseling, what else? Career counseling, supervision in counseling. Basically, you can actually divide it into two. One is on the theory side and one is on the practical side. Right? So the theory side is when you actually sit in class and listen to your lecturer.
Yeah.
Talk about, like, the theories of counseling, yeah, and the practical side is actually you doing it.
Yeah.
So we have for the masters in counseling in Malaysia, we have to do about 1.5 years of practical based learning process, something like that. So one semester for practicum, which is inside the campus, and 1 year, which means 2 semesters outside the campus. So yeah, that's what I learned. So it's to brush up your skill, because counseling itself is a applied based skill.
So
yeah, it's not just about all the theories.
Basically, it's like more practice, lah.
More practice, exactly.
Which makes sense.
Okay.
I'm curious, like, how was your experience doing counseling for the first time, especially like during your first session or whatever.
The first time.
Yeah.
Ooh.
How was it? Were you nervous? Like, was it intimidating? Or were you, like, neutral?
Okay. For the first time ever, I was nervous, of course, but I cannot show to my client I'm nervous.
Yeah.
So I have to, like, act like I'm not nervous, but actually I'm so nervous inside. But it went well. I mean, like, in counseling, although you're nervous as a counselor, but you have to be calm. Because you know your client comes to you with an issue or problem. So imagine if your client sees you being nervous and all.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So, right. So, you have to have that mindset that session is not for you. It's for your client. Yeah.
So, you kind of, like, separate yourself. I guess, like, put your own emotions on the back burner.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what my therapist says as well.
Oh, okay.
Love therapy. But how did it go though, like during the session?
During the session, I cannot say there's one answer to that question, because each clients that I have, they are unique. So mm-hmm. the issue that they bring in the therapy kan, which for me, okay, each counselor in Malaysia, they have their own style, right? So for me personally, I let my client conduct the session in a way. So
lead lines in a way,
yeah. So I don't actually put like an objective per se in the session, session by session. So if my client comes in angry, then the session will be like that. If the client comes in sad and crying and don't want to talk, so this session will be like that.
Meaning like you would go with the flow, sort of like accommodate to your client?
Yes, I accommodate to my clients. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's how I personally...
I would say that, I guess what I can tell is that it's more like easygoing. It's not like instructive where okay, we're going to talk about this.
You're
more like an easy, flowy kind of counselor rather than like super structured.
Yes.
Which makes sense because you're an INFE. But anyways.
Oh my god, you remember?
Of course I remember. I know all of my... I mean like... Just a disclaimer that personality tests are like controversial, but like, you know, it's just
fun. Yeah, it's really fun.
It's interesting like to know like your kind of style, but it's also, I guess, good to remember that, you know, each counselor is different.
Yes,
of course, because we're all individuals.
Yeah, because like I said before in the class, right, we learn all theories. So we learn about, you know, like Freudian, we learn about Jung, we learn about... Rogerian, we learn about CBT, REBT, and stuff like that. So
that's a lot.
That's like a lot. So so it's like one my I remember my lecturer said to us that you need to choose the theory or the therapy according to your personality. Right, so you will feel more like yourself in the therapy. You cannot be like someone else. You know, for me, I know I'm a laid back kind of person. That's why I cannot do REBT or something that it's more instructional kind of thing, because I don't feel right. You know, because I did that for like for 2-3 clients. I don't feel right about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it works, but for me, I don't feel the satisfaction of being in the session. So the therapeutic environment is not there. Yeah,
it makes sense like to choose like whatever suits you as a counselor.
Yeah.
Because like I think that's the only way for you to really kind of like lean on your strengths.
Yeah.
Because if you're not interested in it, or if you feel like it isn't like in your wheelhouse kind of thing, then it's not going to be good for the client as well. But I just want to talk about like, you know, I know that people have experiences where like, oh, I went to a counselor, it wasn't that great.
Yeah.
But like, I just wanted to get the message out there that you're not going to find the best counselor in like one try. I mean, like, you might, but like the likelihood of that happening is pretty, like, it's not as easy as that.
True.
And even I like have seen a few before I got to see a really good therapist that was kind of like on the same level as on the same page.
Yeah.
So it's not everyone's gonna be suited to be your client. True. And like, but some will really benefit, I would
think. Yeah, I agree. Some people like the laid-back approach. Mm-hmm. But then ada orang dia suka macam like a more stern kind of counsellor who likes, you know, like who gives you instruction.
Yeah.
So some people like that. So, and I respect that, you know, because all like people have their own preference.
Yeah.
So don't give up in finding the right counsellor for you.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. It can bring you down, but I hope people know that it's a process, sort of like dating. You won't find the one right away.
You just compare counselor with dating.
No, I mean like the process of it. Because I've read so many things about like how do you find like a counselor, and like I like the analogy of dating because like it makes sense.
Yeah.
Because you will have you to get
find
to
the
know.
Right partner, like at the first try. I mean, if you date, then good for you, but it's not the same case for everyone.
Yeah. It's kind of like, oh, I already dated this, went on a date with this one person and it didn't work out, therefore I'm not going to date anyone again.
Yeah.
So I hope like people, you know, it makes sense to have that as an analogy for seeing a counselor because like you have to keep trying, I guess.
Yeah.
It's not just a one-off thing. I know that you've seen a few clients throughout at least the year and a half, 2 years, something like that. And was wondering, like, who were your clients that you saw?
Right.
Any specific, like, groups of people or, like, anything like that?
Right. Okay, like I said before, I have to do my internship and my practicum. So I think this is, for me, personally, I want to use this opportunity to actually challenge myself, you know. So be diverse in my in choosing my client, something like that.
Yeah.
So for the diversity. I mean, I'm just bored with my life, I guess. I like to challenge myself.
I mean, that's great though.
Yeah. So like during internship, I went to do my internship in Penjara, in Penjara Wanita Kajang. So I actually, so my clients were actually prisoners in the prison, you know. So yeah, that's one type, you can call it type of client.
But wait, do you like cater, when you went to the prison, did you cater to a certain gender or what?
Just because it's Penjara Wanita.
Oh, it's the Penjara. Yeah, that's why I was wondering. I think I heard like Wanita.
Yeah. So it's women. I cannot actually go into the Penjara Lelaki because it's a bit dangerous for me. So, I mean, it's what the Penjara people say. So it's okay, fine. So I did my my internship in the Penjara for 6 months, I guess, like that. So I went to the Penjara every day to cater to the panduan.
Oh, what is it?
Inmates. It was amazing. Wow. It was amazing, yeah. I mean...
Yeah, you did mention before that you were kind of excited about the whole thing.
So I did therapy, individual therapy, group therapy... I did classes, I did psychotherapy, and I do like psychoeducation classes with the inmates. So it was amazing because the issue that they brought in the sessions was entirely different from the student population that I...
Yeah.
Of course, it's different. So it actually challenged me. And I learned a lot from that, actually.
Probably gave you like a new insight.
So they actually so I realized I actually grew as a counselor in the Penjara.
How so?
Cause you know, like the issues that they brought in the session was not the like, not like, you know, procrastination or self esteem issue, you know. This is like I just killed someone kind of issue, or you know, or like, you know, I cannot stop using drugs, I cannot, you know, or my child is outside, I'm pregnant, but something like that. So it's like a issue yang sangat-sangat berat lah. So yeah, I grow as a counselor in the sense that I think I have more empathy towards them. You know, because before that we just, you know, like, as people outside of prison, you know, we just imagine what it's like inside.
You can only have assumptions.
Yeah, but I'm actually there with them every single day. So we share a lot of things in the in the prison cells and stuff. So yeah.
Any other clients that you cater to? I know that you had a few internships.
So yeah, after prison, I went to CHCC, Community Health Center Clinic, under PT Foundation. So I did counseling and testing for people who have sexual health problems.
Especially
HIV, syphilis, gonorrhea, chlamydia, hepatitis B, hepatitis C, something like that. That's a lot. So this is also a challenge for me because I have to educate myself about the sexual health part, you know? The sex education and stuff like that. So I have to read a lot and I've been trained and I have to talk about sex every single day with my clients.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's their issue.
So this is another challenge for me. Yeah. Because this is like, because sex in Malaysia is a taboo topic. So for you to actually be in a session and me, a Malay girl wearing tudung, you know, it's like...
Just like talking about
about sex and people are like, is this counselor for real? You know, but I have to break the barrier.
Yeah, of course.
Because then when are we going to still be in our own bubble?
Yeah.
And talk about it. Yeah.
It's not only like you seeing people with HIV and sexual health problems. It's not just you sort of like getting their perspective and like breaking your assumptions.
Yeah.
But it's only pretty much the other side as well where you... I mean, as a girl wearing a tudung and all of that, you have like a sort of your own kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where like people assume certain things about you
that
you wouldn't talk about certain things or would be judgmental about sex and stuff like that. But like, it is good in a way.
I see like gay clients on a regular basis. Yeah, the transgender people, sex workers.
Because all of those people will seek sexual health services, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it's basically, especially sex workers, that's what they do.
Yeah, and then sex is a natural thing, so people take care.
Safe sex. Health, hashtag safe
sex. Condom, people.
That's the counselor who worked at the sexual health clinic giving advice. I understand that you did have a sort of group therapy with a few people from the LGBT community.
Yes.
How did that go? And before that, how did that go? Like, how the sessions went? How was it before, like the planning, the trying to get, I guess, permission or telling your lecturer or whatever you wanting to do this sort of thing?
Right, okay. So, like I told you before, I like to challenge myself. So I think this podcast title should be Filza challenging herself.
Filza making herself do things that she's not necessarily comfortable with.
So like I said before, I like to challenge myself and I want to use this opportunity to actually meet people from various big backgrounds. Right? And I admit my interest is to the marginalized community, you know, the LGBT community, like all type of community lah, but the marginalized, not the what do you call it, like the community that we actually meet every day, you know, like this. So I think this community needs, you know, like need support more. So one day I decided to actually do a support group for the LGBT community. And then, so for this, I have to, of course, like you said before, you asked me about how do I seek permission from my lecturers. So this is, again, this is a taboo topic, you know. And then this counselor who is like a Muslim female wearing tudung and all wanted to do this, actually raise some questions from people around me.
Really?
I mean, like, what do you want to do this, Filza? I mean,
Why would it? Like for me,
can
it's
you
like
come down and be safe, Rachel? But what do you mean by being safe, right?
Yeah.
Because I have the skill and I want to help people. Mm. And then, yes, so I actually go to my lecturer and I say to her, okay, so doctor, I want to do a support group for who, Vilza? For the LGBT community. And then, okay, Vilza. but don't use the university name, because then it would be like, and then it would be like an issue altogether. And also,
yeah, because it's more like your decision, your
idea. Yeah. True. And then I have to be responsible if anything would happen in session. So wow. I'm like, okay, cool. I mean,
you're like, okay, I'll take
it.
Yeah.
I'm like chill about it. I know. I'm sometimes too chill. My mom has said so worried. So I did the poster and stuff, and I think I did twice, the support group. Yeah, so one group is a group therapy lah, actually. One group consisted of like what, 7 clients, 8 clients, something like that. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah, and then it's so funny because after this one session, kind one of the clients said to me, okay, are you actually from Anjais?
I mean, understandably, yeah, people, I mean, are
it's funny, but it's so sad. Mm. They actually asked me that, you know.
But people do want to be worried, because I do get myself involved with the community as well, and like you remember, I promoted your support group, and people ask me, like, are you sure this is safe?
Yeah.
Is it like, you know, is it like a trick or conversion therapy or something like that? So I reassured them, because I know you, so I like, it's fine, like my friend is really chill, like she's like totally cool, man.
Yeah.
So it's like, it takes convincing, because it's such a taboo thing,
right?
And also, like, I don't know, it could get hostile, possibly.
Right.
Yeah.
It's so sad that I have to convince them also, because you know, it's,
that's the reality. But sometimes
like, we don't have a safe space for them in Malaysia, and when I want to actually make a safe space, when they don't trust.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I like you said, it's totally understandable. So.
Yeah, what I did talk about people accessing, people from the LGBT community accessing therapy and counseling, and a lot of people are concerned of the safety and whether they're kind of like the counselor would be judgmental and all of that. But I think you won't necessarily be confident when you see, oh, this is a group, but you, for me, you have to like kind of ask a few people to really gain that confidence.
Yeah,
because you want to make sure.
Yeah.
That's true. I'm glad like you're one of those people who are like, okay.
Yeah, it's
also, not like you're gonna do anything.
Yeah, just it's all about your values in life.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's all about being just spread kindness to people and always being kind. Aww. Just be kind to every single person in the world.
Oh my god.
Everyone deserves kindness, okay, people.
Oh my god. That's is that your motto? That's one of the maybe. Okay, I have another question. Like, how do you manage your own mental health during all of this? Because it sounds like an intensive course, and you meet people almost every day talking about heavy stuff.
Yeah,
maybe not. It's not necessarily heavy stuff every time, I would assume. Yeah. But like, you know, it's still a lot.
Yeah, that's a good question. It's tough, I can say that. It's really tough, because sometimes I think too much about my clients, then I just not think about myself.
Mm.
And I realized, you know, after like, you know, like 5 therapy sessions per day or 6, and then I would like go back and be burnt out.
Yeah.
And then, but then I know the first thing that I have to do is just be aware of it. Mm. Always be aware of it. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I have to take care of myself. So, self-care for me is very, very, very important. So I have a lot of candles in my house. If you come to my house.
Oh, I can't wait.
Scented candles is one of them. Oh my God, and then I would buy all this, you know, like aromatherapy oil and stuff. Wow. That's one of my self-care. Because for me, for me to help people, I have to take care of myself first. Mm. Right?
It's also like an ethical responsibility.
Yes. It's a responsibility. Correct.
Or else you won't be able to be effective.
Yeah, and then if I feel that, you know, for me, self-awareness is really, really important, especially in my profession, because if you are sad or if I, you know, I just got in a fight with someone, I don't want to go to do a therapy, like 5 minutes after that, you know, I cannot do that. So I need to be really, really aware of my emotions. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I have to actually cancel the session.
Mm.
You know, because it's not just for me, but it's also for my client. I don't want to get angry to my client. Or I don't want to transfer. It's called a transference. I cannot transfer the emotion to my client. It's not fair for them.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's one of the things that I would do.
What else do you do other than like have aromatherapy?
Seeing you.
Macam lah kau jumpa aku kerap kan. This is like right. Our first meet up ever since like a few months.
I know. Like,
jangan lie.
Okay, I won't lie in this podcast. No, meeting friends is a must. It's a must. I can say it's a must as in that I have to vent about the things I have in my mind. I cannot actually, what do you call it? Simpan dalam and stuff. Yeah. And then I don't want to burst.
Yeah.
And the worst thing I can do is burst in front of my client. I don't want to like cry in front of my client. That would be awful. Yeah. My client's like, okay, nah, the counselor is like crying
The
session. That would be awful.
I can only imagine how that would look like.
So meeting friends and, you know. And then exercising is also a form of therapy for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I need that happy... you know what they call it? The endorphins and stuff like that. Yeah.
And it's a sort of release as well.
It's a sort of release. Yes.
That's great. I mean,
yeah.
I guess I have one last question.
Oh, already?
Yeah, because I'm trying to keep it short.
Okay.
Because, you know, I think we've covered a lot. Do you have anything else to add before I have my last question?
No. But if people want to ask questions, then they can. I can actually answer them if they would like to email you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll just put it on Twitter, probably.
Yeah.
Or something like that, and then like
I would be glad to help.
Oh, that'd be cute. And then like I'll ask you to answer them.
Yeah.
Something. So, what's your advice for people who would like to pursue counseling?
Okay. Ooh. To the people.
to the people
who like to pursue counseling, just make sure of what's your intention of
mm-hmm.
doing counseling in the first place. Yeah, what do you want to do? Do you want to help people? What do you want to do?
Mm.
You know, for me, because you just wanna, you know, do it out of boredom, because I know some people do that.
Oh my God.
And then of course be aware of your values. It's really, really important, because sometimes your values and your client's values clash with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So be aware of your values and
also
challenge yourself. Of course, please challenge yourself. Don't be in that bubble and just meet the same kind of clients.
Yeah, because everyone's different. And you can't expect to see the same kind of client every time. You need to cater to as much as many people as possible.
And then self-care.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Buy a lot of scented candles. That would be my last advice. Scented candles for the win.
How do you sort of like reconcile the difference between your values and your client's values? Or like guess maybe their lifestyle or what they've done with their lives.
It takes a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it takes a lot of work. My supervisors actually challenge me, challenge my values. You know?
Could you give an example?
Okay, let's... Sex, for example. You know? Let's sex. Or maybe because I'm a... Because I'm a Muslim. Because I'm a Muslim, I have my own values. Right? In the, so, Islamic values, you can see that. And then, one day you have to talk about sex. So, you know, some people feel that that is quite inappropriate to actually talk about it.
Yeah.
So, that is actually challenging your values. And you have to talk about vaginal sex, anal sex.
Yeah.
Like, oral sex. All the way. And all, like, all the way, man.
It's not just surface level.
And for you to actually say that out loud without having this judgmental face or like this uncomfortable, you know, like, you know, because clients can see that from your face that you are uncomfortable in actually delivering the information to your clients. So that is one of my challenge, and I actually have to challenge myself in a way that I have to like actually cry. And then I have to change sometimes my worldview, change my values. I mean, but it's for the better. Yeah.
Oh, and that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I got it. Okay, one additional question,
right,
which would be the last one.
Okay.
Any advice for people who would like to go to a counselor?
Oh. Go for it. Okay, don't be scared, because counselors also people, for us people. And then, like we said before, if you sometimes you will find, I can say, trashy counselors.
I mean, like, not everyone's good at that.
Yeah, or counselors who like doesn't have the same values as you, but just don't give up. You know, go find other counselors. You know, like. It's like just like dating, like you said.
Yeah.
You
know? Great analogy, can see.
Not yeah, I it. Like that analogy now.
Yeah.
Yes. Just take care of your mental health, people.
Okay, Filsa, thank you so much for meeting up with me.
No problem. It was my pleasure.
It's kind of like
it's fun.
Yeah. thank you for sharing with us your experience with you know. Pursuing the masters, not only that, but what you went through, what you learned, and also the clients that you meet and the challenges that you faced, and also your love for scented candles.
Yes. Thank you, Zalaika, for actually inviting me. I'm honored, actually, for you to actually think about me.
Yeah, you're a close friend of mine, at least in my mind. So I thought that you have like a really good perspective and like good experience to share.
I'm glad that I can share to all these people that I don't see.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening.